Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 309 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. And today my guest is Sean Greeny. Sean is in-house counsel for a company called Hyperdraft, which is also the name of the product that they produce, which is a document preparation system for use by attorneys. And what sets it apart from most others is its use of artificial intelligence and a form-based system such that you can dictate how you want the product to look and appear as an output in real time. And that sets it apart from a lot of other similar type programs. I am really excited about this platform, this tool. I don't have any interest in the company. There's no connections here. But if you stick around to the end, you, I'm sure, will be interested to take advantage of a free trial offer that they are extending to all of our listeners. So if you are, as I said, intrigued by this product as we've described it on the recording here, give them a call, go on to their website, schedule a demo, and if you mention that you heard about them on The Law Entrepreneur, they will offer you a free trial experience. So anyway, without any further delay, let's talk to Sean Greeny. Sean Greeny, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks, Neil. Glad to be here.
Well, it's a thrill to have you with us today, Sean. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah. I'm a born and raised Southern California kid, you know, and I've been practicing law. God, you know, it's one of those things like you wake up, you go to bed and you wake up and the next thing you know, you're the old guy in the firm. So I started practicing in 2007, right before the crash. And I have pretty much practiced law in almost every setting and from every angle possible. Did the normal big law sweatshop in the beginning.
I gotta chuckle there because I love the way you characterize the big law sweatshop, because for many people that's exactly what it is.
Yep. And the firm I started at is no longer with us, which is a good thing. But they were like your stereotypical abusive big law. If you were to do a movie and turn all the big law stereotypes and personalities up to 11, you'd probably still be a couple rungs below where this was. But you know what I tell everybody. I've got a bunch of sayings and a bunch of mentees is, you know, if you can survive it, you're so much stronger and better because, you know, you've been given responsibilities and you got beaten up so hard that, you know, you could survive anything. But the trick is getting out. And I did. You know, big law wasn't the Goldilocks porridge portion for me. So I hopped to, at the time, was an 8-person corporate boutique out here in Los Angeles. And I hung out there doing venture capital work, which was a lot more my speed. They were all big law refugees, so we all had the pedigree, but it was still, you know, everyone whose name was on the wall was still around and alive and kicking. So you could, you know, it's nice to be able to have that kind of flexibility to pop into the, you know, the main partner's office and get whatever you want passed.
You didn't have to go to the portrait gallery to put a name to a face, right?
That's right. And the committee upon the committee upon the, you know, right. The committee and approval process. So, but you know what? I just had this kind of burning in my soul that, you know, being a law firm attorney wasn't it. Doing venture capital work all the time. You work with all these entrepreneurs that, you know, start off with a dating app in their mom's basement and sell it off for, you know, billions and billions of dollars. And so I shot my shot when Beats by Dr. Dre opportunity popped up. So went in-house with them, and just my luck, God, I would probably say I was an official W-2 employee for maybe 4 months before the Apple deal started cooking on the back burner. So I didn't, the Apple deal happened. I wasn't on the cap table long enough to vest in anything. So I didn't make millions and millions upon dollars on that. But it was a kind of a funny story.
Missed it by that much.
By that much. Yeah. I was on paternity leave with my first kid when, if everyone remembers, Dre accidentally leaked the deal.
Right.
And which is Apple, you know, how Apple feels about confidentiality. That didn't go over too well. So I'm driving home from the hospital and my cell phone just starts blowing up. And it's questions like, hey man, congrats. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And they're like, does this mean you're rich? And I'm like, kind of confused. And I'm like, yeah, rich in love. Like, sure. Like, you know, first kid is great. And then I knew something was up when of course, you know, the true friends go, does this mean I get free Apple stuff? And I'm like, oh crap, what happened? saw the news and I'm like, well, let's see how this plays out. All the offers were up in Cupertino. But I, as I said, I'm a Southern California kid through and through, and my wife wasn't going to let me relocate the family up there. My mother-in-law with a brand new kid sure as hell wasn't going to let that grandkid go up north.
Probably the fiercer foe is the mother-in-law.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I went back to the corporate boutique. They called me the day the deal closed and said, it's time for you to come on home. So I hung out there until right before the pandemic, when Big Law came knocking back on my door. And, you know, honestly, it was one of those things where I had no desire. I enjoyed practicing, you know, in the boutique space, no desire to go back. But, you know, one of my many old man rules is you always take the coffee, you always take the lunch. And I did. And every step of the way, they just said the right things. But in the back of my mind, you know, it's like, I've been there before. I got out.
Waiting for the shoe to drop, were you?
Yeah, but it didn't, you know? So went, joined Goodwin Procter, just my luck, right? Like I joined Beats, the Apple deal kicks off. I joined Goodwin Procter and it was less than a week later, the whole world shut down with the pandemic. So I pretty much spent my whole Goodwin Procter career work from home, but cool firm, cool experience. But, you know, I'm still always looking for that Goldilocks, you know, just right portion. And I met the co-founders of Hyperdraft while I was there. They were senior associates, you know, got friendly with them on a couple of deals. They told me about this startup. They said it was legal tech. My eyes were glazed over a little bit, but I started to use the product. I started to see the product and it didn't take long before I was mainlining the Kool-Aid. So earlier this year, I made it official, put a ring on it. And jump from Goodwin Procter over to Hyperdraft to be the general counsel. So that's the origin story. And then
yeah, so here we are today. Now, so for me, this is kind of, well, I don't want to use that term. This is kind of a big deal for me because this is the merging of technology and the law, with a little flavor of Apple behind it. So. It's like a three-pronged dessert here.
Yep.
So I'm very happy to talk about Hyperdraft. So let's kind of go back and talk. These guys were working in a law firm. They were associates in a law firm, and they identified the need by saying, "I wish we had this kind of capability." Is that how that came about?
Yeah. I mean, this product's been kind of a labor of love of our CEO and chief engineer, Tony Tai. He's kind of the magic behind it, you know, and everyone, you know, in a law firm, you get pitched with a lot of legal tech products. And, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm an old man. You got about 5 minutes to prove to me that your newfangled technology is better and faster than my old man manual way of doing things. And if you can't do that, then I'm off to the next thing, you know?
Well, you add to that the corporate culture of Big Law,
yeah,
which, you know, regardless of you being an old man or being a progressive attorney, it's hard to turn that tanker ship around. It's hard to get it to veer off the course that it's on. So you add those two elements to it, and that's a pretty high hurdle to get over.
You know, Neil, you're dead on right about that. You know, and so when I started early adopting and using the product, you know, Tony is a lawyer and an engineer. And so there's zero loss in translation. And that, you know, honestly, that was the biggest attractive part about the product. I wouldn't have jumped from Goodwin to go in-house if it was your typical lawyer talking to an engineering team. And as you know, right, like us lawyers, we got a lot of weird things we do on a day-to-day basis that when you try to explain it to a non-lawyer, they go like, but why would you do that? Why can't you do like this? And it's like, because that's not how I like my documents, you know? Mm-hmm. So there was zero loss in translation talking from to an engineering team. And then, you know, an engineering team talking back to a lawyer saying like, hey, listen, I think I know what you want. Here's the parameters of what we can do. The difference is he speaks all languages. And so we can move pretty much as fast as he can think. And so early on, it was cool, right? Like anything I wanted with the product, I was like, hey, listen, right? When I don't know the business term and a set of financing documents, like I like a bracket dot close bracket, right? That's how I know I need to come back and fill that term in, where some of these other legal tech products would be like missing data field or something stupid you would never send mm-hmm. to the attorney. So it was awesome basically just to download my mind and Tony's mind and Ashley and Jason and the whole team and basically put out a product that truly is like for lawyers by lawyers.
Now at that point, it was for our listeners, we are talking about a product that currently is titled HyperDraft. But did it have a working title then, or was it just our tool?
No, it's always been HyperDraft.
HyperDraft. Okay.
Yeah, and out of the gate.
And it was being developed in-house, right? These are guys are all in-house for in-house use.
Yep.
To start with. So was the idea at the time, hey, this might be something we want to take on the road, but right now let's just kind of refine it and build it and see where we go with it in-house.
Yeah. I think the plan always was to spin this out.
Okay.
And you know, Tony went through all, you know,
because you guys are all venture capitalists and working in, you know, the entrepreneurial space, or just the product was that inspiring for you?
If for me, the latter. For Tony, I think he just moonlighted as an attorney. The way he tells it was, you know, he went to law school because he got tired of paying lawyers to do his documents. So he wanted to learn how to do it himself, which I always tell him is like, man, that was such an expensive and time consuming, you know, learning curve. But for him, you know, it was always, he saw the need, he started building the product. You know, it's nice to have a big law firm kind of fund your startup. And it was all sanctioned with the firm. Like they knew about it.
Right.
For me though, I'd punched my big law partner ticket. You know, I could have just coasted and, you know, got a nice platform to build a book of business on and just kind of wrote it out there. But, you know, like I said, always looking for something cool, and then use it a couple of times, saw just kind of how it set off from the rest of the folks in the industry. And it was like, you know what, I've been sitting on a fastball waiting for the right pitch and here it is straight down Broadway.
You know, Sean, I don't think we could use any more imagery and between the two of us, mixed metaphors, fastball down Broadway. So let's talk about, you know, what form did the product take at that time? Was it a web-based application? Was it a standalone app on a server in a partner's closet? Was it a an iPhone app, or just what form did the product itself take at that point?
Yeah, you know, so Tony early on was working with a lot of in-house companies, and so InfoSec's always a major thing. And so when he first rolled out version one of the product, it was desktop based. So that way it would sit behind the firewalls. And so when we deal with our big public companies that use the product, you know, the InfoSec call is like 30 seconds. But everything's in the cloud these days, and especially, you know, with law firms and things like that. So we've got the web-based version coming out in the next month or so. So that way, you know, it's like a buffet for the customer. You know, you kind of, you know, we got many, many options. And so, you know, you just slide your plate along the tray, and here we go with more metaphors.
Yeah.
And pick whatever works for you. Yeah.
All right. So now let's roll back a little bit. We've kind of got a picture of how this product came to be and kind of a sense of where it lives. Tell us what it does.
Yeah. Right now, the first thing we rolled out, and it makes sense, is doc generation. It's an easy wedge product. Everybody needs it. And for most folks, you know, especially when you practice law, you know, whether you're on the corporate side or on the litigation side, you know, that you have forms, right? Like, especially when you're in a small shop. When I was in the boutique, you know, firms, like, you know, your bread and butter is, you know, a niche or a set of documents that you can churn, replace, and you know, charge a flat fee for it. So doc generation is where it's currently at. We've got a ton of cool features popping out, you know, the ability to, you know, drop in commercial contract standpoint, drop in paper from another side and then edit it real time, compare it to your playbook, you know, other common provisions. But right now it's basically doc generation turned up to 11.
Okay. So to help our audience understand what that means, there are other products in the marketplace that do doc generations. And, you know, I'm not telling you that people don't know, but probably the most popular one and the one that's most well known, at least in the PC side of the world, is Hot Docs.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of standalone verticals built on a Hot Docs engine. So help me to understand the difference between Hyperdraft and a product like Hot Docs, not necessarily Hot Docs itself.
Yeah, no. So at Goodwin, we used got at least three or four in the 2 years I was there. And, you know, there's just a lot of shortcomings. Our goal here is I don't want you to leave the software. I want you to be able to create the document, hopefully just by clicking, you know, auto-suggesting, edit it real time. You hit generate the docs, you get actual true Word DocX versions, not some, you know, kind of morphed version where every data field looks like one of those, you know, email scams. Yeah, exactly. Right. Where like it's in font 12, except everywhere at data field, it's in Arial 14, you know, where it just looks like I'm going to ask for someone's bank account or social security number, mm-hmm. you know, so our goal is everything's in the system. You hit generate, export to your email server, and you send it off. And, you know, you're probably thinking to yourself, Neil, like, well, isn't that what every one of them wants to do? It is what they want to do. They just can't. So I won't name the name, but we used a major one. It wasn't Hot Docs, so I'll give mm-hmm. Hot Docs a little bit of credit there. A little mm-hmm. more for now. We used a major one at Goodwin, and a couple of the shortcomings were, one, it was their forms. Right. Like, you know, it makes sense. Right. They build it once, they sell it many. But, you know, as you know, I like my own forms. Every firm's got their own forms. Right. You know, it's practicing law is definitely not a one size fits all kind of deal. So we had to use their forms, which were ugly. Right. And then it's just one of those things like if it's an ugly document, you're already losing. But the cool thing is Hyperdraft will take your documents. Anything you want, right? It's a small one-time fee. We'll code them up and you can use it on the system going forward. And that alone is just such a differentiating tool. The other thing that we saw that a lot of the competitors don't have is the ability to edit and see how your document is being generated live. You know, the a good one, it was kind of a black box, right? Like you're starting on the questions seem cool. You got zero clue what it looks like. What happens if, you know, you're in the MBCA voting agreement and you're trying to put the board composition together and someone's got some wonky board election provision that wasn't in the like four selections that the vendor forced you to select, right? We have the ability to edit all that real time. You see what the changes look like. So that way you don't get to the end of the road, hit generate, look at it going like, well, crap, you know, now I've got to reopen the document, go back in and edit it. And at that point, like I mentioned before, my old man in me is going like, you know what? It's just easier to find the last version I did, go through line by line and update things by hand, you know? So those are usually the two biggest differentiators between us on the doc generation side.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you in part by my friend, Coach Mark Brockwell. Now, if that name sounds familiar, you might remember hearing him as our guest on episode 277 of The Law Entrepreneur. And during that episode, we talked about a lot of different things. And one of is the fact that, did you know that only 12% of the law schools provide instruction on how to operate a law firm? 12%. That's one of the reasons managing a firm is difficult for most attorneys, particularly if they have no prior business education or experience. Wouldn't it be great if someone could guide you and save you the time and money figuring out how to grow and manage a profitable firm? Well, I highly recommend you visit with my friend, Coach Mark Brockwell. Mark helps individual attorneys, as well as law firm leadership teams, implement the structure and processes they need to grow and operate profitably. As a lawyer and a businessman, Mark knows firsthand what it's like to face the challenges of growing a profitable firm. Mark can help you do the same. Go to his website, coachrockwell.com, and download the Law Firm Checkup. That's Law Firm Checkup, which Mark will review with you at no cost. You'll get great insights on how to build a healthy, thriving law firm. You can call Mark directly at 503-784-7205 or visit his website at coachrockwell.com. That's coachrockwell.com. And my thanks to him personally for sponsoring today's episode. If you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. All right, well, let me do a little tech interpretation there for our people who don't speak in tech shorthand. So typically with a document generation product, you set up the forms and there are variables, either terms or numbers or whole paragraphs or whole sections that you have the ability to insert into the final document. And the way these tools typically determine what you want to put where is through an interview process, a series of questions. You fill in the questions, you make the selections. That tells this underlying system, okay, these are the terms and the clauses I want to insert in the document. They have the skeletal document hard-coded in. You hit the generate document button, and it merges those variable fields into the document, and out pops a finished document, right?
Yeah. Perfect explanation, Neil.
Now, the challenge is that when you have multiple parameters that come to bear on a particular paragraph or section, and in the interview process, you're filling in 5, 6, 7 questions, and you hit the generate document button, and what results is a document that doesn't meet your requirements. That's not what I wanted. Now the challenge is, okay, which one of those questions did I answer incorrectly? Or which one of those questions influences how this selection process works? And it can be just so infuriating to try and figure out how did they get this document generated from what I provided? And so that's the real-time editing challenge that you are describing that is so valuable in Hyperdraft. Because in Hyperdraft, as I understand it, as you're going through that editing process, that selection process, you see the results in real time.
That's right. That's dead on right. Not only do you see the results in real time, some of these providers, you got to go to the end to generate the docs that we saw.
Right.
Once you generate it, you're done. Right. Like you can't that questionnaire, that quest, as we call it, because we're big gaming nerds. So everything has a quest in our company. You don't have the ability, you know, those other products, you don't have the ability to go back. So if like, crap, I messed up, I got to start at square one and do it all over again. Our quests are saved. So in the event, for whatever reason, you know, you were real time editing it live because you didn't have the provision that you wanted right there and you had a typo, you pop back up to that question. You know, we try to make it as user friendly as possible. And the other piece that we have is, you know, the doc generation is a must these days, in my opinion, especially when you're in the solo or small practices, because you can benefit off efficiencies in ways that I don't think big law can go apples to apples on, you know,
without question.
With that, yeah, Exactly. We probably want to maybe come back to that, because I know for a lot of the listeners, I think you know, they might be, you know, they might have just sat up in their seat a little bit. The other piece is, you know, as let's say you're going through your template, right? We take your template, we code it up, it's on the system, you know, but you know, you put it out into the wild and you get some weird provision back from the other side that wasn't in your normal playbook, and you add it, right? You do real-time edit, you add it. The system knows it. And the next time you come through that document, it offers us up as a suggestion that you don't have to type. You know, it's all these kind of suggestions on the screen where at the end of the day, the more you feed the machine, I hate using the word AI and you know, things like that, but it learns the more you feed it. At the end of the day, when you've given enough data points, you're just clicking, right? Like every time you get to a provision, it says, hey, last time you did this, you want to do it again, or here's the options. You're not typing anything. You know, your 20 clicks generate email onto the next thing. And again, right, like it's that for lawyers, by lawyers kind of thing, where we were in the trenches and we're just trying to make, you know, give people the tools to keep fighting the good fight down there.
Well, let me also illustrate another thing that you said, or amplify another thing that you said. You said, before we talked about the real-time nature, you also pointed out that Hyperdraft allows you to use your own forms and incorporate those into the engine. And let me give you an example of where that isn't the case with some other products. So I, as an estate planner, I use a platform to help me generate my estate plans, which is great. Okay. Helps generate the power of attorneys, the wills, the trusts, mm-hmm. and all that, which is fabulous. Okay. Now, what I really wanted to do is also generate the retainer agreement, because I only want to put the client's information in one place.
Yep.
Their retainer agreement is not my retainer agreement. I don't want their retainer agreement. So I want my retainer agreement. Can you take my retainer agreement and code it into the system so that I can have my retainer agreement be filled out by the document generation platform that I'm purchasing? Nope.
Yep.
And I get the strong sense that that's not the case with Hyperdraft. For Hyperdraft, now there may be a small fee to set it up, but you can create the template for that retainer agreement. So you can bring whatever forms that you want to bring in that you use routinely to run your practice and have them included in this platform.
That's absolutely right. Like you mentioned, small fee. And, you know, our fees are super duper affordable. You know, our bread and butter are the boutiques. And so, you know, it doesn't do us any good to create this beautiful product and then
price yourself out of the market. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's,
What I want to make sure that, and look, I don't have any stock in the company. I don't have any relationship with the company. I'm not making any money off this, but I want our audience to understand that what they get out of this is a completely customizable document generation platform that you can use. And if you're a small firm or solo or small firm, as you said, the efficiencies that you can gain allow you to compete with anybody.
That's right. That's right. You know, we touched on it a little bit, you know, might be worth digging into that a little bit deeper. You know, it's, you know, big law firms, every legal tech company in the world wants to get that big law firm contract, right? Yep. You stroke an enterprise license agreement with them and, you know, it's millions and millions of dollars. Oh.
You know. I know software sales folks in the enterprise level, one deal, one big law client, they're done for the year.
Yep.
See you next year. Yep. That's all I need.
Yeah, but it, you know, as most anybody who's ever tried to sell into big law knows, I think you mentioned it, right? They're a big juggernaut. They're a carrier, right? And to turn a carrier takes a lot of time and a lot of momentum and a lot of effort. And, you know, and there's committees upon committees, you know, and so we still sell into them, right? We still have clients. It's just, you know, what we found was focusing on the boutiques. And, you know, that's where I spent most of my career. And so, you know, I've got a warm place in my heart. And obviously, you know, pitching clients, especially in the startup world, right? Like half the pitch in the beginning was always why you should choose me versus big law. So I've always got a soft spot in my heart. And when, you know, when I default to the angle of practice of law, like that's where I'm coming from. You know, you can do a lot with this. right? Like, you know, at the corporate boutique, we had a startup package, like maybe, I don't know, 15 documents, form you up, NDAs, offer letters, option plan, you know, everything you'd want, you know, when you start a company. And we always kind of viewed it as a loss leader, right? We charged a flat fee for it. The time it took to generate the documents was too much, but we wanted to get our hooks in you. And if you got a financing or, you know, an M&A deal, that's where we made our money back. We didn't have Hyperdraft, right? With Hyperdraft, you could spit those formation documents out. And, you know, you mentioned about, you know, the retainer agreement. You only want to put your name in once. It's not like you have to go through a quest for each one of these documents, right? Like, we put your incorporation documents on there. You fill out the name of the company one time and it populates it everywhere throughout your documents across it, right? So you could literally knock out a fully customized, ready to go turnkey set of formation documents in under, you know, half an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, the quote at the small firm was always like, well, we're not going to try and compete with LegalZoom. Now we can eat LegalZoom's lunch because LegalZoom can't practice law and we can. And we've got software that, you know, you can price it out and you can make money on those things. I mean, there could be a small shop that does nothing but formations, undercut LegalZoom by a little bit and let the software run with it. Not saying anybody would ever want to do that, but you have the ability to do that. And the key that I think that most solo and small shops can do is that big law is a little bit hesitant to do is flat fee, fixed fee, you know?
Sure.
And with a software like this, your price certainty is guaranteed. Right. Like, you know exactly how much it would take to do a venture financing deal or formation or things like that. And, you know, you can pass that on, you know, the savings on to the client or, you know, discount it a little bit, however you want to set it up, knowing that you're never going to get burned, which is usually the risk with flat fees is that you quote it, you know, deals go sideways or it takes a little bit longer to draft and now you're losing money on it. You know, all
that. I'm starting to hate the client.
Yeah. Right. You know, when really it's your own fault.
It's your own fault. Exactly. So, to help illustrate this, let's talk about some use cases for Hyperdraft. I mean, I see quite a few just off the top of my head. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. I think business formation, just as you said, if you're helping small businesses get created, do their filings, get their boards in order, if they're that complex. Those documents are documents you churn out each and every time for each and every client with some tailoring. Seems to me like Hyperdraft could really be a real game changer in that scenario.
Absolutely.
If you're doing things, you know, a high volume business like bankruptcy, where you can take a bunch of forms, put them in Hyperdraft, enter some data with a few strokes and spit out several different documents, seems to me that would be something that would be useful. Those are the two that came to my mind.
Yeah. It's basically, if you have a form, then you need Hyperdraft. I mean, that's basically it, right? If you have a form that you use on the regular, because again, remember, we take your forms. It's not just kind of like, hey, we have the venture capital financing documents and this is what you have to use. We take your forms and code them up. So the industries that are, especially in the small and solo shops, the industries that our clients span, they run the gamut of practices.
Okay.
You know, we've got one client that works with, you know, banks, mortgage defaults and evictions and things like that. A lot, you know, not so much work on that with the moratoriums, but
right.
You know, it's a volume play. It's a small profit margin. And a volume play, and they have armies of paralegals and small attorneys that just take their forms and they populate it for Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and it's a process, right? Like, they have the form, right? The routine is there, and you know we got Hyperdraft in there, and they just cut those efficiencies so much, right? And which means you can churn out more, you know, you can kind of play it however you want, right? Being efficient is always better. The hard part is like, hey, how do I maximize the profit? Do I pass it on to the client? Do I keep salaries the same and give my work staff a break and really kind of push more towards that work-life balance, which, you know, is always another way to sell yourself versus big law, which, you know, sweatshop, as we mentioned at the top of the show, you know? And so from general corporate, you know, like you mentioned bankruptcy, you can do M&A. Anyone who does a commercial contract where you have your paper, just at the end of the day, when you use it a handful of times and you give it data, you're just clicking, generating and emailing.
Real estate.
real estate is, yes.
You could be huge.
Yeah.
If you're doing real estate law. So address this question, because I'm sure it's being uttered out there by some of our listeners who say, but wait a second, kind of documents that I generate have some pretty complex sections or paragraphs or whole articles that can't be reduced down to a form. It may be a collection of reused paragraphs, but you got to know which paragraphs to plug in where.
Yeah.
I mean, no tool can do that. You need my legal expertise to be able to generate a unique document in that environment. How do you respond to that?
Oh, Neil, I need to get you on payroll, man. I love you lobbing these softballs. No, you know, that's a great question. And there are some of those cases where just the simple, you know, yes or no kind of provision definitely doesn't work. You know, and so we it's hard to describe without running the demo. So everybody should just sign up for a demo. But, you know, for those provisions where it's highly customizable or it's complex, or, you know, yeah, it's the same type of deal, but they're kind of like snowflakes. Maybe, you know, it's not that simple. We have what we call our provision carousel, right? It's basically, it has just the wholesale paragraph and you just cycle through, right? Like, you know, if it's, you know, you use it on this type of deal, or when I want to be my side friendly, middle of the road, what I want to give. And it's got these wholesale cards that you just shuffle through very quickly. And as always, right, no provision is ever the same. You're able to edit these cards real time. And when you edit it, it becomes an option for the next time. And so, you know, we try to think of, again, right, this is for lawyers, by lawyers. We try to think of every scenario.
Let's not gloss over that.
Yeah.
Let me cycle back, because that just like is like a light bulb that's going off in my head. So let's think of how things were done back in the day, like last week. Okay. When I have my Word document open and I write a paragraph and I have to tailor it for this specific need. And then I say, you know what? I might need that paragraph that way for another document. I'm going to save it. And where am I going to put it? I'm just going to give it some kind of descriptive name and put it in a folder somewhere on my computer and hope I can find it when I need it.
Yeah.
And then, okay, when I need it, oh, I did find it. Well, it's not exactly the same. I want to make a little tweak that, you know, maybe I could use this tweak further down the road. So I'm going to save that one too. And now I've got two things saved and hope to be able to find them later on. What you're telling me with this provision carousel, that every time you pull the card, if you edit it in real time and get it the way you want to say, you have the option of saying, do I want to save this as another card in the carousel?
That's right. You know, and you know, if you're like me, if I drafted that provision one time,
I don't want to have to do it again.
And I will spend hours combing, because I'll never remember where I saved it. Yeah. I'll never remember what descriptive, you know, title I gave it. I will comb through my computer for hours to find it, because I'll be damned if I
let me tell you, I have just as an aside here, I have spent countless hours, measurable hours, designing systems to store those snippets. Okay. You know, first I did it on my own. I rolled it on my own. Then Evernote came around and I used Evernote because I thought, oh, it's my online brain dump. I put everything in Evernote. And then I wasn't happy with that. Then I went to OneNote. Now I'm using Apple Notes. And, you know, it's still the same problem. I need to be able to find it. And I need to be able to easily tell, how is this different from the one right next to it?
Right. Right.
And the vision I'm getting with the provision carousel is I can see how, as I migrate through them, I can see how this one provision is changing and where it's changing.
That's right. You know, and you know, there's nothing even worse is you drafted it, you saved it, you remembered it, you eventually find it, and you open it up. And as you mentioned, you're like, well, damn it. This isn't exactly what I thought it was. It was so much better in my mind. It's all in one spot on Hyperdraft. You know, like you have your template answers, you know, we'll work with you to build it, right? Your most common go-to provisions. Those are your cards. And as you edit it, or you find a new provision, it automatically saves it, but it doesn't replace your go-to. They're always there. It just gives you another pathway that you, again, you're just clicking through the documents, generate email, send the invoice.
All right. So I want to just touch base then on that last point as a wrap up here. How does it fit in with my other systems? I mean, you said hit the button, the document gets attached to an email, out it goes. Are you working on other integrations, or do you see a role for that in the future, being able to have HyperDraft play with other platforms?
Yeah. Kind of what we mentioned before is it, you know, we want this to be the software without having, you know, to do anything else. And it wouldn't do us much good. I definitely wouldn't use it if I opened the software, I did it, I had to download it to my hard drive and then manually do it to my, you know, my doc management system or email. We integrate with everything.
Is that right?
Yeah. And even if the event you're using some obscure, your buddy started a document management system and you're just trying to help them out. If you know that we're pushing up against the extent of my tech knowledge, but I'm told if you've got an API, we got you covered. And so, yeah, we integrate with everything. For lawyers, by lawyers, my friend.
Okay. So I want to integrate it with my documents signing platform, like DocuSign, HelloSign.
Yep.
You got me covered.
Yep. Yep. If you use it, we can integrate it.
Yeah. If you have an API, you can connect to it. And I'm also guessing, I'm just going to guess here. This is pure speculation on my part. I'll bet Zapier can fill in the gaps as well if you don't have an API.
Yeah.
So
our chief engineer, Tony, we do integrate with them, but he is a better engineer than he ever was a lawyer. So in the event you find some rando software company that
he's going to take that on as a challenge, isn't he?
You know, it's also part of the solution software is, you know, we got the doc generation, but we have what we call hyperlabs, where if you just have something you don't think is made yet, give us a call, talk to Tony. You know, we offer that as well, right? We will customize it just for you too. So I want folks to walk away knowing that the tech is never an issue here, right? Like it's
all right, Sean. Well, we've teed them up. Let's tell them how they can get a demo, how they can take a look at it. How can they take HyperDraft out for a drive?
Yeah, the easiest way to get in touch with us and in a demo is just hyperdraft.ai, and that's HyperDraft, one word, no underscore, HyperDraft.ai. Once you get on the website, it's all turnkey to click, find some time on our calendars, get you hooked up with the demo, and then you're off and running.
Great. Well, listen, just to reiterate again, I have no connection to the company. I'm not doing this to help promote the company. I did this, I asked you on the program because when I first started looking at it, I thought, these guys are onto something. This is a little bit clearer and just resonates with me a little more than some other products do. And I think if it resonates with me, I got a sense that, you know, having done this now for 5 years and 309 episodes is going to resonate with somebody else. So I was hoping that we would do just what we did, whet somebody's appetite, and hopefully they'll get something out of it and be able to connect with you. So Sean, thanks for spending the time with us today. I do appreciate it, and I wish you all the best. I'm looking forward to see how HyperDrive evolves.
Perfect. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur. Well, how about that? That's a wrap for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors once again, as usual, Daylight by Market Circle, Spotlight Branding, Ruby, as in Ruby Receptionists, and our newest sponsor, Security Plus. If you have a chance, swing on by our website at www.lawentrepreneur.com. You can check out a bunch of information and resources there. And if that doesn't satisfy your needs, swing on by our Facebook page or Twitter page. You can find those just by simply searching for The Law Entrepreneur. And if you'd be so kind, I would greatly appreciate it if you go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and an honest review. If you find this podcast is helpful and that you're getting value out of it, it does help with our visibility and ensures that we're going to be there for another 5 years or so, as this has been quite the run. And I'm greatly appreciative of your interest in The Law Entrepreneur.